سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي موجود قبل حدوث الأشياء ويبقى بعد فناء الأشياء، تفرد بالأولية والقدم ووسم كل شيء ما عداه بالفناء والأدم. قال عز شأنه: كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه، وكل نفس ذائقة الموت. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، the distinction of Imam Hussein, or one of the distinctions of Imam Hussein over the other Imams was in the companions that surrounded him, in the supporters that were with him. We see that this was a major difference in the time of Imam Hussein as opposed to the other Imams, especially the ones before him. One of the things that they lacked was a group of supporters who truly understood the objectives of Imamat and were willing to go along with the truth to the final stage. What Imam Hussein had were companions who were able to stand with Hussein until the end. And here is one of the major distinctions between a group like in Karbala and the group of people that Amirul Mu'mineen had, or a group of people that Imam Hassan had. You see that they were leaving the Imam or being sold at the cost of leaving the Imam, or even betraying the Imam. But when it came to Imam Hussein, we saw that none of the people who was in Karbala with Imam Hussein on Ashura, none of them even took a step backwards. They never took a step backwards. We're not afraid to die. We're not afraid to be killed. My friends, Karbala was a golden opportunity for anyone who wanted to take part in jihad and give their life for Allah and enter Jannat. It was a golden opportunity that doesn't come too often. Very rarely does it come, and we see that in Karbala that opportunity came. And when we look at those people, really, it was not long that they had to suffer. Truly, it's not a long time that they have to suffer. When you look at the door of Jannat, you know, how hard is it? You know, it is only shaitan that makes us so weak that we think that death is so big. It's only 2 minutes, even less than that. Less than that, 2 minutes of suffering. and that's it. It's over. And for that 2 minutes, you see, your whole life, you're afraid to even think about death. Your whole life, you're afraid of it. And that, it's like, you know, it has been made so big in front of your eyes. They're like, wow, looking at it. What the companions of Imam Hussein did is that they showed that this is all it takes. That's it. This is all it takes. 2 minutes. You know, few arrows, swords, this and that. That's it. No. Just relax in your blood and just wait for Allah to take you. Wait for the angels to take you to Allah. That's it. That's all you need. My friend, understand this. This is the difference. They have shown us that. The companions of Imam Hussein, they stood with Imam Hussein. They were with him because one of the reasons, the major reasons, the most important reasons that they were with Imam Hussein is because they were able to bear the truth. They had the ability, the capacity to bear the truth. And this is what I want us to understand today. As, you know, we will head into some akhlaqi issues, but I think it's necessary if we want to understand what it means to be with the Imam. If you want to be with Imam Hussein, and this is our wish, as a mu'min, we are told by Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam, when he taught us in the ziyarah, right, what did he say? Right, Ya laytani kunna ma'akum fafuza fawzan azima. We wish that we were with you. This is a wish of every mu'min. You know, you should have that wish. We as Shias should have that wish to be with the Imam. But have you ever thought what it means that? What does that mean? You know, to be with the Imam, my friends, what does it mean? What are the things that you need to be with the Imam? You know, and obviously we need to know the things that we need to be doing in order for us to be with the Imam. Thought just occurred to my mind, just to explain one thing, that, you know, there are people who are on the internet trying to disguise themselves as Shias and raise issues with the children, with our youth, in chat rooms in different places regarding the belief in Imam-e-Zamana. And they say certain things, you know, all these things, so that they can attract the children or the youth to come towards them, posing as alims, and they try to put down other ulama right away, and they start to speak of these things. Now, one day I just received a phone call from one of, you know, the people in the community. They said, hurry up, get online. What's going on? There's a debate going on. And this guy, he's heavy. And you know what? He's bringing all kinds of arguments, this and that. So, you know, I went online to see what's going on. Right? And now, whoever this person was, apparently he is an American. He is claims to be Shia. And he's speaking about, he's trying to let the youth who are there, and everyone who's online with him in the chat room, and everyone was there trying to debate with them, that, you know what, Shia Islam means to follow the Imams, to be with the Imams, not the Mujtahideen, not the Maraji, right, not these people. And he was getting proofs for them, different proofs. You know, and I was looking into the proofs. Obviously, you know, for an average person, he doesn't understand. But when I'm looking at the proofs, I'm saying, you know, this guy is digging deep into stuff. He's digging deep into stuff. You know, it's not, for example, a normal person to do this, to come back with references that deal with usul al-fiqh, that deal with these type of things. He said, there's research behind this. And he was like up there trying to argue, and the people, even though they don't want to believe him, but they are getting doubts about their own self. Where do we stand? And I was looking into that, and I said, all right, you know, I started to discuss with him online and tell him who I was, you know. And obviously his attitude was very arrogant anyway, and that was all, you know, that was making a lot of people upset, you know. I was like, for example, asking him questions, and he says, listen, you just need to listen to me. I know more than you. Right? I know more than, obviously he doesn't know me, you know, so I'm just like anonymous there. I'm just like, all right, man, you know, of course you know more than me, but, you know, I just have a certain questions I want you to answer. You know, so he said, okay, what, you know, answer anything, you know, this and that, you know, but I want you to know that if you become my student, I can teach you. Right? We'll see about me becoming a student, but just answer this one question. He says, you know, then he was like, emphasizing to everyone that if you want to be with the Imam, then I am the way. You should come to me. Right? And all these type of things, right? So now what happened is that when I said, all right, you know, I want to be with the Imam also, but I want to ask you one thing, right? I want to know how much you know what it means to be with the Imam. He says, what do you mean? I said, you know, there are 25 things that the Imam will ask. There are 25 things that the Imam will ask, right, for anyone who wants to join his army. Anyone who wants to be with him in his army, there are 25 things in the questionnaire that he will ask. If you answer those 25 things, if you are able to give the right answer, then you will be admitted into the army. So I asked him, well, do you know what those 25 things are? Obviously, if you want to be with the Imam, you need to know 25 things, because to him, he was saying that, listen, in order to be with the Imam, you need to know martial arts, Taekwondo, Tishi, you know, whatever. I said, what is that? You know, who do you think the Imam is looking for, ninjas or believers? You know, believing ninjas. You know, what are you talking about? You know, I said that 25 things that the Imam is going to ask you, if you do those 25 things, you're with the Imam in this army. What are those things? And obviously, he didn't reply after that. He didn't reply after that. I said, man, if you don't know what the Imam is going to ask you, you know, stop claiming, you know, that you are there. So, that ended there. But the issue is this, my friends. Many people are going to work against the belief of the Imam. 25 things the Imam will ask you, and I'm not going to mention the 25 things to you. I just raise the issue so that you can be aware of what the children and what the youth, when they go on the internet, who they are being faced with. This was, to me, a complete agent who knows exactly what he's talking about and how to make people doubt their own deen and taqleed and even the maraji. Right? Because there are rulings that we cannot understand why those rulings are there. Many people think they're awful. Many people think that, you know, they're like, oh, how can that be? And he brings those quotes from the websites and says, you see, this is what your marja believes in. Do you think that we should follow him? Would you think that Imam would say that? And you're like, no, well, no. And hence, you know, they want to keep them away from the maraji and the leader and the whole idea of leadership in Islam. This is one of the things that has to be protected, and we need to know where this is coming from and how this is coming from, so that the children have the right ideology to defend themselves. Just let me not leave you hanging. What about those 25 things? Just I'll mention what, you know, what is it about, so that you understand. 25 things. If you answer these 25 questions in the right way, then you will be with the Imam. He will ask you these 25 things. Now, they have nothing to do with prayers or fasting, any of these things. Nothing to do with that. Right? Why? Because obviously the Imam, you know, if you want even to be close to the Imam, you have to pray. If you don't pray, you know, it has nothing to do with the Imam. You have nothing to do with the Imam if you are not praying or fasting. If you don't pray and fast, you have nothing to do with the Imam. So that's not even going to be asked. what is going to be asked are things that we might think are very simple, but you know what? They are what's more important to the iman. For example, I'm just saying, right? You know, one of those things. I won't mention the 25, just one or two. Right? For example, he will ask you, have you stolen from anyone before? Did you ever steal anything from anyone? If you say yes, okay, you cannot be in the army. Go do something else. Did you lie to anyone? Yes, you can't be in the army. Go somewhere else. Did you do zulm on anyone? Oppress anyone? Hurt anyone? Yes, you can't be in the army. Go somewhere else. Meaning, you know, you can do something else, but you cannot be in his army. You know, you're still a Shia, but you can't fight with him. You know, my friend, you can't fight with him. In order to be with him, you need to answer these questions, yes. And obviously, the reason is very simple. You know, the reason and wisdom behind this is very simple. The Imam's army is going to establish justice. It's going to fight against zulm. So if the Imam now goes and fights those people in the world and invites them to Islam and says he's going to fight against zulm and establish justice, and if there's someone in the army who has done zulm on someone, then that victim of that person has the right to tell the Imam, you claim to establish justice, but there's someone in your army who has done wrong to me. He has done wrong to me. Who are you to establish? Look at you speaking about justice. Imam cannot have anyone in his army who has done zulm on anyone else, or hurt others, harmed others, stolen from others. Cannot have anyone who has done these things. That's why if you want to be in the Imam's army, these are things that are there for you to adopt. And you need to know these things so that you don't fall into that trap of losing yourself. Right? But the thing that I want to talk to you about, important, one of those things, right, is that if you want to be with the Imam, you have to have the ability to bear the truth. And I'll explain that if you send me a salawat. You know, the capacity to bear the truth is what makes a person grow closer to the Imam. You want to stand with him, you need to have the capacity to bear the truth. This is a capacity that we have. How much can we bear the truth? You see, there are certain people who can't bear the truth at all. There are certain people who have a greater ability to bear the truth. You know, how would we know that we have the ability? Because those who are with Imam Hussein, they had the capacity to bear the truth. That's why they were with him. If you want to be close to the Imam, if you don't have this capacity, you just cannot be. You'll be repelled from it. If you want to see how much you have it, like for example, I'll give you an example. We are sitting down having food after the majlis. You put out the majlis, you see that there's one person, he takes a lot of food. And he eats some, leaves half the plate, he's full. So now, you go to him and say, Agha, brother, Akhi, you know, you're doing israf here. Why do you take so much food if you're not going to eat it? Now tell me, what will be the reaction of this person? What is he feeling? If it was you who did this, and someone said to you, what you're doing is wrong, what would be your reaction to that statement? Would you feel insulted? Would you feel offended? Would you feel belittled? Now what he's saying is the truth. What he's saying is the truth. What is your reaction to the truth? Why are you being offended when you hear the truth? Why are you being insulted when you hear the truth? You see, my friends, understand this. This is the capacity. You can't bear this little truth about yourself. It's a little truth, nothing. You're saying, yeah, Baba, you're doing a throb. It's in front of everyone. Here's the plate. Look at this. It's going in the garbage. See? Here. Take a picture, post it online. This. He's doing a throb. It's clear proof. It's clear proof. It's the truth. And he's telling it to you in your face. But you see, how dare you say that? I'll never come back to this masjid again. Yeah? What does that mean? Why? Because he told the truth to you, you're running away from the truth that much? That you will never come back? My friend, understand this. This is the capacity to bear the truth. We are people who not only do we not accept it, but we are offended by the truth. We are insulted by the truth when the truth is told to us. We are insulted by it. We are offended by it. Not only don't we submit to it, or at least accept it, or be patient with it, we are fighting against it. So if we are fighting against a small truth like this, then that imam who will prick you and who will analyze you in the most minutest way to bring out your innermost hidden secret and innermost innest evil that is inside of you. You think you can bear his words? You can bear his words? You can bear the truth that comes from him? No, I mean, my friends, if you don't have the ability to submit to the truth, to accept it, let alone just be patient with it. Okay, you know what? I'm just being patient with them. Oh, look at you. You are being patient with the imam. You're doing sabr on whom? The imam? Or he's doing sabr on your ignorance? My friends, understand this. Who can be with the imam? People who have the capacity to bear the truth. They are the ones who can be with the imam. Those who were with Imam Hussain, they had the capacity to bear the truth. Whatever Imam said, submission. Submission, that's it. Whatever he says, nothing. And it starts from these little things. Shaitan, you know, then he comes and tells us, you know, yes, if the Imam tells you, listen to him. But if someone else tells you, you tell him, who are you? What does that mean? Yeah, that's exactly what he wants. This is the same thing Shaitan did. He said, Allah, I'll worship you, but anyone you appoint, no, I don't want him. Anyone you tell me, anyone below you, no, I'll just listen to you. My friends, understand, this is the same thing. Don't get caught up in that. If anyone tells you the truth, no matter what it is about you, you have to have the capacity to accept it. Now let me just go into a detail about why we don't accept it. Why we get offended by it. Why do we get offended by it? This is what, you know, if you understand this, maybe it will help us, you know, to make ourselves better and improve ourselves. Salawat ala Muhammad. You know, the main reason that we are not able to accept the truth when people tell it to our face is because we are dishonest. We have learned to be dishonest with ourselves. We have a false perception of ourselves. And now, because we made that false perception and we call it reputation, in order to protect that reputation, now it comes in between us and obedience. My friends, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? When you look at yourself in the mirror, what do you see? Most people think they see themselves. You know? No, you don't see yourself. When you look in the mirror, you don't see yourself. you see an image of yourself that you want to see of yourself. Just look in the mirror and see, you know, look at yourself. And you see how people look in the mirror. Right? Is the image in the mirror you, or is it what you like to see of yourself? You'll see that the people who look in the mirror, they will look at an angle that they look the best, you know? Ah, yes. Because that's what they want to see. They want to see the best look they can get. How they look, that's the angle they'll look at. Some people you see look in the mirror like this. Why are they looking like this? Because that's how they look better for themselves. We are unable to look at ourselves the way we are. If you ever see a picture someone took of us from a different angle, we'd be like, wow, I look like that. I didn't know I looked like that. Why? Because we never saw ourselves. We did not allow ourselves to look at ourselves from that angle. We didn't allow ourselves. Why? Because inside ourselves, we have learned to lie to ourselves. We have learned to be dishonest with ourselves. You know, we don't tell ourselves the truth about ourselves. How good I am. We don't tell that. We build this false notion. Why? Because it's too much to rectify the ugliness. A lot of times, you know, a lot of ugliness we took upon ourselves, and it's too much to rectify it. So we put makeup on it. Sometimes, you know, plastic surgeries, whatever it needs, you know, make myself look good. And then we call that reputation. We call that reputation. Oh, we need that reputation, this and that. This is a falsehood we have accepted about ourselves. If someone learns to be dishonest with himself and deceives himself like that, how can he stand with the Imam when the Imam is exposing him and revealing him? You can't. You cannot stand with the Imam. You cannot know what the Imam is saying. This is why, my friends, we need to have the ability to be honest with ourselves. Be honest about who you are. And if someone tells you the truth, then you will say that, thank you for letting me know how I look. You know, if you walk out of the house with, you know, like for example, your hair messed up and this and that, and your hair is messed up, you know, if someone tells you, hey, your hair is messed up, now would you be angry at him? Man, I forgot to comb my hair. You know, you go back and you thank him for it. Man, if he will in there, I would be an idiot all day long. I would look like an idiot all day long going around looking like this. You'd be thankful for him that he told you something about yourself that you can go and change yourself now. My friends, when it comes to physical appearance, it's easy to accept things from ourselves. But when it comes to your spiritual state, that is where you need to start accepting things. If people tell you, brother, why did you do this for? Why are you arguing about it? You see, the minute when you see the truth, just submit to it. That's your job, is to submit. Alhamdulillah, thank you for telling me. Thank you for telling me. Instead of submitting, what do? You know, we end up trying to justify what we're doing. No, you see, let me explain to you what happened. Why are you explaining? Don't explain. Don't explain yourself. Just say, thank you. I needed to know that. Don't explain yourself. Don't even try, because this is what Shaitan does to you. Explain to him that you will look bad. You will look bad if you don't explain yourself. Don't explain yourself. I gave you an advice. I told you, hey, bro, you know, you look ugly. No, you know what happened, right? I slept on the wrong, you know, face, you know. Wrong side. Why are you explaining that to me? Right? You don't need to. The minute we start justifying it, the minute we start to justify ourselves, that's when you know that you're being caught in a trap. Don't get trapped in that trap. Be open with yourself. Say, submit to it. You told me this about submit to it. If you don't have that ability, my friends, with people who do not have that in-depth look into yourself, and they're saying things about you that are superficial, then that imam who can look deep into your soul and even tell you the most darkest secrets that you have, that you're hiding from everyone, and tells it to you in your face, then really, we cannot handle it. We can't handle it. That's why many people leave the imam, because it's insulting for them. They feel insulted. They feel offended. They leave the imam. In order to be with them, you have to have the capacity to bear the truth. If you can't stand with the truth, you can't be with the imam. You can never be with you. This is a false hope that you have. A false hope that you have, my friends. This is why those people who were with Imam Hussein and they stood with Imam Hussein, when we look at them, that's when we understand that these were people who had the capacity to bear the truth. And they stood all the way with the Imam. And if we want to be with the Imam, then we also need to have that capacity, my friend. Salawat ala Muhammad. Yes, my friends, being someone who's honest and truthful, it's not easy to live with a person like that. It's not easy to live with a person like that. You know, if a person becomes honest, really, you know, it's very hard to live with him. Yeah, you know, that's why people like other friends who are not honest. You know, that's how we make friends also. We make friends according to the ability of them, of us getting along with them. Meaning that only those people become our friends who say things to us that we feel good about. You know, that's how we make friendships also. Look at ourselves. Who do we make friends with? You know, oh, my friend, he's good to me. He always says the right things about me. You know, he never offends me. You know, that's how we make friends. Why? Because we want people who are dishonest around ourselves. We want those type of people around ourselves. Someone who's honest, someone who will say things to your face, no one likes them. No one wants them around in a group. No one wants them around in a group. I'm not speaking about you here. I'm speaking about, you know, myself. Right? It's very hard. Someone comes and tells you, you know, hey, you know what? You're wrong. You're doing this wrong, you know. All right, man. You know, now I know who to stay away from. Why are you staying away from him? Stay away from that guy who's, you know, brown-nosing you. Man, you're good, man. You're the best. No, I'm not. I'm not the best. No, you're really good. I'm telling you, you're really good. My friends, why are you saying that? Why do you want? I mean, do you want my friendship by lying to me? My friend, understand this. This is how we live our life also. We have learned to be dishonest with ourselves, and we want dishonest people around ourselves. And when the Imam rules, you see, why did people hate Imam Ali? Why did they hate Imam Ali? Did he hurt them? Did he harm them? Did he slap them? Did he whip them? What did he do? Did he steal anything from them? Nothing. But just what? Because he was honest with them. He was truthful with them. Read the Hajjubullah. How many places Imam Ali, you know, rips people apart? You know? He rips them apart. If someone challenges him in the public, he rips them apart in public. I mean, not even says, okay, brother, you know what, I'll deal with you after the majlis. Not even that, no. Right in front of others. You know, criminal. You were a criminal before this, and you were a criminal after that. You know. This is how he dealt with it. Imam Ali openly tells him, if he challenges them openly. If he challenges them openly in the public, if I would openly say, you son of a weaving woman. My brothers, tell me, if someone tells that about you, would you be happy? That moron, I should never come back here. We are the ones who pay him. Get him out. No way. He's not getting on the member. Right? My friends, this is how it is. Understand this. This is why it's important. It's very hard to live with Imam Ali or any of the Imams. Because they're open. They are honest with you. If you don't like honesty, then you don't like the Imams. If you're not honest with yourself, you cannot stand with the Imams. There's no way you can do that. We need to start being honest with ourselves if we want. My friends, in order to stand with the Imam, you need to have the capacity to bear the truth. Be honest with yourself. That's when you can be with the Imam. Now, you understand, how can we be the companion? Ya, laytana kunna ma'akum. What would you do if you were there? Yes. I put you there in Karbala, what you going to do? What are you going to do in Karbala? Karbala was here today. And Karbala meant you lost your green card. What is it going to mean? I'm going to lose my official status here if I go to the Imam? Maybe inshallah in the next call. You know, when the next Imam will come. My friend, it's not going to work like that. You know, these are just words until we start to make those real changes in ourselves. Imam is waiting for those changes to happen. Imam is waiting for those changes to happen. You know, we are not the ones waiting for the Imam. He's the one who's waiting for us. Why are we waiting for the Imam? He's the one who's waiting for us. He's ready to tell us. He's ready to lead. He's already leading us. You know, we can't see him because we have lagged on so behind. You know, we are so behind in the race that we can't see him. That's why he's in Ghaibah. Let me explain that to my children. He sent me a salawat. You know who, what Imam means? Imam means someone who's in the lead. Someone who's in the lead. And Imam, the concept of Imamat can only exist when there's movement. If there's no movement, there's no Imamat. It makes no sense. It's illogical. You know, for example, if there are two cars in a race, and when one goes ahead of the other, then you will say that the car that's ahead is the leader. The concept of Imam and leader only applies when there is movement and someone has gone ahead. You know, if you go to NASCAR and you see there are certain cars in the race, right? They're in the race, right? When they're in the race, so now those that are in the race, you see one car will go ahead of all the others, then you say that car is leading, that car is the leader, right? Now tell me, you will say that he's the leader. Whose leader is he? Oh, he's leader of the cars that are in the race. He's who? The leader of the cars that are in the race. Now there are cars in the parking lot also. Do you say he's the leader of the cars in the parking lot? No, the parking lot, those cars are not in the race. So the concept of leader doesn't apply to those who are not moving. It doesn't even apply to those who are not in the race. The concept of imamat applies to people who are in the race. That's why Allah says, Allahu waliyul ladina Amanu. Allah is the wali of believers, not disbelievers. Wilayat and imamat are concepts that can only be applied to those people who are moving in one direction And when they're moving in one direction, then you say he is the leader. So now when we say Imam Mahdi, so that's this Imam is someone who is ahead of us in the race. He is ahead of us in the race. Now what happens is that while we are lagging behind, we see his number plate. You know, we see his number plate. And if he goes too far from us in the lead, you will see what will happen. A time will come when we will stop seeing him because he's too far away. He will go out of our vision. He'll be too far away for us to see him. When he is too far away for us to see, it's because we are lagging behind and his lead is so much that now he has gone so far that we cannot see him. This inability to see him is called ghaibat. Ghaibat of the Imam, occultation is what? That he has gone so far, or we have lagged behind so far, that we are unable to see him. Unable to see him. So now tell me, if he has gone ahead, you know, we are going from here to, let's say, Portland yesterday. Right? 2-3 cars are with us. Now one car has gone very far ahead. The other cars are behind. Now tell me, in order for us to get together, you know, I call the brother over there who's ahead. You know, where are you? Oh, we are over here ahead. So now I tell him, oh, you have gone like 100 miles ahead of us. He says, yes, I'm 100 miles ahead of you. So I tell him, okay, we'll wait for you. What do you mean you'll wait for me? To do what? To return to you? To come back 100 miles so that I can be with you? The idea of waiting is not for those who are lagging behind. The waiting is for those who are ahead. That's why you see that we are not the ones waiting for the Imam. The Imam is waiting for us to catch up to him. We have to reach him. We have to go there. We have to become honest. We have to lose dishonesty. We have to increase our capacity to bear the truth. When we have that capacity, then you will see that, yes, we will catch up to him. We will catch up to him. He's waiting for us. Really, he's waiting for us, my friends, you know. Truly, he's waiting for us. And you know what? Really, what kind of an imam he is. What kind of an agha he is, you know. When you want to see who is our Mawla, who is Imam Mahdi, I mean, just imagine who he is. You know, he has said, you know, how he looks at us. How do he look at us? How much the way he waits for us. You know how he waits for us? What kind of waiting does he have for us, my friend? Just imagine what kind of compassion and love that he has for us. We don't even understand a little bit of it. You know? We don't even understand a little bit of it. Imam Mahdi had said that, you know, believers, mu'mineen, when you get together, make dua for my faraj so I can come back to you, be with you. That Mawla who's waiting for us, that I want to be with you. You are the people I want to be with. That's the Imam. You know, when a mother sees her child, you know, the love that she has for her child is such that, you know, she sees her child running and for no reason she hugs him. She just takes him and hugs him. You know, that love overcomes her and she loves him. There is that love that overcomes her. She understands it. She feels it. But the child never understands. Why is my mother hugging me all the time? Why are you hugging me all the time? He cannot understand the love of the mother. Imam Rida said that Imam Mahdi's love for us is like a mother's love for her child. Really, we can't understand His love that He has for us, my friends. Really, we can't. You know, we are like those children who can't understand, why does He want to be with us, you know? Why does He want that gathering with us? Why does He want us to make dua? We don't understand that it's Imam Mahdi who can feel the love that He has for us. If we can understand who Imam Mahdi is, my friends, we want to be with Him. No, He wants to be with us more than we want to be with Him. This is Imam Mahdi. Who's Imam Mahdi? You know, I explained a little in the afternoon speech that I'll give you a few of those things, you know, so that we can understand Imam Mahdi. We can understand who Imam Mahdi is for us. What is his position before us? Imam Mahdi, who is he? My friends, if you know who is this Imam, then you will understand, you know, that in Jannat, when all the awliya of Allah, all the anbiya and ayyama will be gathered there, and each one will be in this beautiful state, everyone will be in their grandeur, Allah will make them so that everyone will look just handsome, just beautiful, so everyone can see the grandeur that they will be given. Who are these? This is the company of awliya. This is the company of anbiya, that they are gathered together. And you see, in that gathering, our Imam is saying, in that gathering, Mahdi will be such that in that gathering of all these awliyas, he will be like a peacock amongst birds. His beauty will be such that everyone will be praising him. This is Imam Mahdi, my friends. This is Imam Mahdi. Do you know who Imam Mahdi is? You know, really, if you love Imam Mahdi, if we love Imam Mahdi, it's not a big deal. Really, it's not a big deal. You know, anyone would fall in love with him. Anyone would fall in love with him if they get to know him. If you cry for Hussein, it's not a big deal. Anyone loves Imam Hussein. He's a being who should be loved. He's that attractive. He's that beautiful. He should be loved. Imam Mahdi is like that. He should be loved. He should be loved, my friend. He is that attractive to be loved. You know, Imam Ali, you know who Imam Ali is? Imam Ali is that Imam around whom a person like Fatima used to make tawaf around. That is Imam Ali. Imam Ali is that individual that Fatima is in love with him. A person like Fatima has given and sacrificed herself for him. And you, she says, that it is your right, Ali, to that I be sacrificed on you. It is your right that I should love you. You are that being that should be loved. Ali is that being, my friends. That Ali who Fatima wants and yearns for her. That Ali, who Fatima has sacrificed everything for, that Ali had said, he had gone out with his companions and he hit himself in the chest and said, ah, ah. He hit himself in the chest and said, ah, ah. No, shakotan ila ru'yati. Oh, how I wish, my wish is that I want to see my Mahdi. How I wish I could see my Mahdi. He used to sigh for that. He used to yearn to see my Mahdi. How is it that we don't want to see him? Really, how is it that we can't see? This is Ali wanted to see Imam Mahdi. You know, Rasulullah, whenever he went to the house of Fatima, he used to, and she was feeling down and she wasn't, You know, she was under hardship and suffering, and every time he wanted to make her happy, he would say something, and she would become so happy that she would smile and start laughing out loud. She would start laughing, giggling out loud by the words of Rasulullah. You know what he used to say? Abshiri ya Fatima, fa inna Mahdi minka. Oh Fatima, congratulations, Mahdi is from your children. When she understood that Mahdi is from my children, she would start to laugh. She would be giggling with happiness. This is Imam Mahdi. We should be in love with Imam Mahdi. Imam Mahdi is that person who is so attractive that you have to love him. That is Mahdi, my friends. That is whom we are waiting for. That is whom we are waiting for. You know, if we love Imam Hussein is someone that, it's not a big deal loving him. He should be loved. He is that attractive. He is that good. He is that good that you have to love him if you know him. This is Hussein. And that is Mahdi, his son. Stand this, my friend. When you look at Imam Mahdi, you know, really her goal, you know, I explained in the days of yesterday, and I would just want to say that one point. Our goal, why is Imam Mahdi coming back to us? Why is he coming back to us? Why do we want him back? What, do you want him back because of his government? We want him back because of Adil? All of that is good. All of that is there. But why do we want him? For what reason? What difference does it make to us if he comes and kills some criminals and sells some people? No, my friend, if the greater goal of Imam Mahdi coming back to us is that we who are loving Imam Mahdi, we are going to sit with him. We are going to be in the gathering, and we are going to tell him, Subhanallah, oh Imam, we don't want anything, all we want is you. You are the one we are waiting for. You are the one we are waiting for. You are the one we want. We wanted to see you. You are the one. And you know how Imam Imam Zainal, Imam Hussein in his dua has said about Imam Mahdi. You see, what has he said in the dua? What has been said in the dua of Imam Mahdi? That woe unto these eyes. Every time I open them, you know, I'm paraphrasing this for you. Every time I open my eyes, what sort of garbage I see in this dunya. I have vision, Allah, but how sad that I can see everything, but I can't see Imam Mahdi that these eyes are meant for. We can't see Imam Mahdi. This is, my friend, this is the sadness. And that Imam, you know, who is waiting for? You know, he's waiting for us, my friends. He's waiting for us. Imam Mahdi has remembered, you know, every day, you know, Alhamdulillah, you are here. May Allah bless you all that you cry for Fatima's children. That you cry for Hussein. And as I said, Fatima will not let this go to waste, my friends. Fatima will not let this go to waste. If you cried for Fatima, then she will also take care of you. Each and every one of you, she will take care of you. Each tear is precious for her. Every tear is precious. Every feeling of emotion that you have of sadness and grief for Hussein is precious for her. It is precious for her. And you will see it in hereafter when you will be in need. You will see it then where Fatima, how much weight she holds in the hereafter. How much she holds in the year after, you will see it there. She will stand at the door of heaven and tell to the angels, I will not enter it until everyone who has understood my children Hussein and cried for my son Hussein, every one of them who understood and worked for his cause is going to go inside there. This is Fatima. And you know, Abba Imam Mahdi, when he writes in Ziyarat al-Jami'a, he remembers Karbala. You are remembering the children of Husayn, the children of Fatima today. May Allah bless you. Arba'een is coming so that we can fulfill the wish of Zainab. We can fulfill the wish of Zainab. But Arba'een is coming, inshallah. May we increase in this crying and mourning and giving ourselves up for Imam Husayn. But I want to say this, my friends. You are not alone when you cry. You are not alone when you cry. Don't think you are alone when you cry. Every time the musibat of Husayn is being mentioned, your Imam is crying with you. Your Imam is crying with you. He's crying with you. And you know, let me just tell you how he remembers Karbala. You know how he remembers Karbala. Look at Ziyarat al-Jami'a and you will see how he Ruhat al-Nahya, and you will see how he remembers Karbala. And he remembers Abbas. He remembers Abbas and says, Salam unto you, my uncle Abbas. Salam unto you, my uncle Abbas. You know why? Because he says what he remembers of Abbas is that when you fell off the horse, everyone falls off the horse. Everyone, when they fall from a height, they hold themselves, they protect themselves. But Abbas, when you fell from the horse, you fell on the ground with your face first. No, my friends, in the hearts of everyone, Abbas is going to be there. Abbas is going to be there when Imam will come back and all the Mu'mineen will be gathered under him. They will all understand one thing. One thing they will know is missing, and they will all understand one thing. That, you know, all of us put together under the banner of Imam Mahdi, all of us are not equal to you, Abbas. One of you is more than us. One of you is more than us. Zainab remembered Abbas. Zainab remembered Abbas throughout, my friend. Everywhere Zainab used to go, she remembered Abbas. Every place they went, they remembered Abbas. And they remembered that their Abbas is the one who used to be around us and guard us and make us feel secure. Make us feel secure. When they went to Ibn Ziyad, and Ibn stood in front of Ibn Ziyad in the court of Ibn Ziyad. You know, Kufa was harder for them in Sham. Sham was really hard. It is hard, but Kufa had a special thing that Sham did not have. Sham were strangers. Kufa were people who knew Zainab. They knew Zainab there. Everyone who, of course, Ali lived there. Zainab was a princess there. Everyone knew Zainab, but no one saw Zainab. You know what happened? Many people came out of the streets. Many people came out on the streets just to see Zainab. Oh, so that is Zainab. So that is Zainab. سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون يا محمود بحق محمد يا علاء بحق علي يا فاتر السماوات بحق يا محسن بحق حسن يا قديم الله سلام بحق حسن الله give us the توفيق to him right give us the wisdom to understand your guidance haste in the very presence of Imam make us his hope of one وآخر الدعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين يا حسين